Hello, everyone. My name is Ashley. I'm Kathy Cook's daughter, otherwise known as Bright Lights Pathfinders. And I will be doing her share tonight along with Pete, a friend of ours, should say, my mom and I. We're going to be talking tonight about codependency. Pete taught me a lot about that. So, Pete, what do you have to say about codependency?
It's a sad thing. You know, it can cause you a lot of pain in your life. Yes. So, what specifically did you have in mind about it?
Well, just the way it can basically take someone's life away from themselves and give it to someone else.
All right. Yeah, it'll do that. That's for sure.
Yes.
If you allow it.
Well, it's like, what have you taught me all these years since I was 12 years old? What have you taught me?
Oh, man. That's hard to, what do you call it, quantify. I'm just a little distracted over here. I got something going on, but it'll be done in a minute. So I'm sorry if I don't seem that attentive.
Quite all right.
Yeah. But anyway, well, you're going to have to ask me a better question than what have you done for me all these years.
I know, I'm saying as far as codependency goes.
Oh, I know. Well, I guess, you know, you have to learn that, you cannot be ruled by what another person tries to make you think, say, feel, or do, you know? And that's what happens a lot of the time in relationships. And I think that most people have, you know, levels of codependency, but it can go to the point where it just, you know, does wreck your life. And
it consumes it.
Yeah, exactly. And, you know, it's like, I guess the biggest, well, I don't know if it's the biggest indicator, but one of the indicators of it is like somebody that needs to talk to on the phone to their significant other 4 or 5 times a day, you know, or more.
Right.
It's like, you know, if you both have a job or one of you has a job, the other person needs to be doing their job. They don't need to be talking on the phone telling you, I love you, I miss you. Well, we need that, okay, you know, so let me go to work, you know. We'll talk about this when you get home. Is nobody hurt? Nobody's dying? Don't call me, you know. Leave me.
Oh, well.
Or call
I agree.
Me at lunchtime.
There, yeah. Yeah. There's a time and a place for it, in other words.
Right. And a lot of people don't get that. You know, some of the guys where I work, they're on the phone, you know, half the day. You know.
Really?
Not getting nothing done. Mm-hmm.
That's the way me and my husband used to be.
Uh-huh.
Still kind of weird saying husband. Still trying to get into that.
Yeah,
I am a newlywed, for those of you who don't know.
Yay.
But that's, in my opinion, learning that I was a codependent is what saved my relationship. And what, the reason that I'm married to my husband today is Pete gave me a book called Codependent No More. Probably one of the better books I've ever read, and it taught me a lot about myself. And I didn't think when he gave it to me that it was going to do anything for me. Thought, oh, just another useless book. Then I got to reading and highlighting, and next thing I know, it's 3:00 in the morning, and I have to get up for work in 2 hours. Because I got engulfed in this book. So I highly recommend you go out and get Codependent No More. Great book.
It
taught me a lot about
myself.
And,
you know, I think what people have the most difficulty with is, like, when their partner or just someone in their life, it doesn't even have to be your spouse or your boyfriend, girlfriend, or whatever. It can be
brother, sister, parent.
Right, mom, yeah, whatever, you know. They get upset about something, and they try to suck you in there with them, you know, and get you all riled up. And they know how to push your buttons, usually, you know, if they're close to you. And so they try to get you all twisted up into their madness, and, you know, if you allow it, then you will be just as miserable as they are. But the way to, you know, to keep yourself from doing that is you know, practice surrender, acceptance, and detachment. So, you know, it's like, okay, I didn't do anything to get this person upset. They're upset all by themselves, you know, and I can't change that. But I also know that I don't have to get sucked into it with them, you know.
Correct.
Yeah, and, you know, that's a hard thing for most people to do, you know.
Just to let go.
Yeah. You know, it's like, okay.
That was one of my big issues with getting married. I'm not saying that was an issue, but I mean, it was, because it was like I was detaching myself from my mom and my dad and my brothers and, you know, and starting my own family. And I'm expanding and kind of branching off in my life, you know, where for 27 years, you know, those are the only five people or four people in my life that really, I guess I called my family, you know, my extended family, my grandmother, my cousins and things, but I think you guys get my drift there. But that was a hard thing for me, was parting with my mom, in the sense that I'm going to be a married woman. I'll always be her daughter, and she'll always be my best friend. But I thought that it would be more painful than what it was, but it wasn't. It truly wasn't.
Well, you know, that happens when you get older and mature, you know. It's like, if you're young, like pre-20s, it's kind of hard to do that if you had a really close relationship with your parents, you know, and that's what happens to a lot of marriages, because the parents get involved in it so deeply that it's just an extension of their own marriage, you know.
I agree there 100%, but you know, I'm lucky for me that, you know, his parents aren't like that, and my parents aren't like that, and they want us to be happy and live our own lives. And they don't want to try and step in and live them for us.
Mm-hmm.
It's like they, all four of them know that, you know, they were there at one point and, with their parents. And they know that we have to have a marriage of our own, which is great.
Yeah.
Being a newlywed is absolutely fantastic.
Oh,
absolutely
yeah.
Wonderful.
Mm-hmm.
It's one of those things that I hope it never goes away. And you know what?
Right.
As long as we keep the love that we have today in our hearts forever, I mean, there's no reason for our relationship not to last. And it's built to last. And that's how we built it. We had a strong foundation before we made this step. So.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's true. Y'all been together for a while.
Being a codependent wasn't exactly. If we had gotten married 4 years ago, we would have been divorced by now.
Oh, easily.
Yeah. You called that one, Pete.
Yeah.
You sure did.
You ever hear that story about, you know, if you take a penny and put it in the jar each time you make love the first year you're married, and then you start taking them out after, you'll never run out of pennies?
No.
You never heard that?
No. Uh-huh. I've never heard that. That's pretty cool, though.
Yeah, but, I mean, it's like, You won't take those pennies out of that thing as fast as you put them in. That's what I was trying to tell you.
And some people that's a cool thought process, though, behind that.
Yeah. Well, you know, the guy was telling me today, he goes, you know, marriage is just another way for you to pick the person you want to be abstinent from sex with for the rest of your life.
No.
Yeah, that's what he said.
No.
That happens a lot.
Yeah, but some people think that it's brought on by kids, by children.
Well, to a point, but I think it's also because people don't know each other well enough before they get married, and then if they have codependency issues going on, then, you know, that's part of the way that they do the passive-aggressive thing, you know. It's like, okay, I'm not getting my way here, so I'm not going to, you know, share the bed with you, you know, or whatever. And I've seen that happen on many occasions.
I've learned never go to bed mad.
Well, see, that's good. I didn't learn that till I was 35. You know, so.
Never go to bed mad, no matter if it's my husband or my mom or my brothers or my friends. Never go to bed angry.
Mm-hmm.
And it's done well for me.
Yeah.
Wake up and have a better day.
Well, yeah, that's right. you don't have to sit and start arguing at 11 o'clock at night while you're trying to sleep.
Yeah, and I think when I really, really hurled the codependency thing, I was an arguer. I was the one that would chase you down and find you just to argue with you.
It ain't so.
And now it's just to the point where I'll speak my mind and then I'll shut my mouth and walk my opposite direction until I've cooled myself off and, gotten myself into a place where I can have a decent conversation. And that was a hard battle. That was a very, very hard struggle for me, was because I'm the type of person, I want to fix it right now.
Mm-hmm.
I want to fix it right now, but trying to fix it in the heat of the moment does nothing but make it worse.
Right.
So, it's all in the book.
Right.
It's all in the book. It's a fabulous book.
Well,
and if anybody wants to call in and talk to us, go to bbsradio.com, and the numbers are on there for you to give us a call, ask any questions you like.
Excuse me. So what's the best part of being married?
Best part of being married is getting up in the morning and seeing Colin, whether he's awake or asleep or whatever in dreamland, and just knowing that 50 years from now I'm going to be looking at the same face, and just makes me truly happy and complete. I feel complete as a person with him by my side, because I know that I'm safe and secure, and I just have a sense of fullness. And that's fabulous. It's absolutely wonderful.
Cool.
It couldn't be any better than what it is. I mean, we had our rocky roads, but we made it through.
Uh-huh.
And, I learned a lot from my parents' marriage. I think my parents had more of a friendship than they did a marriage.
Yeah.
And that was their biggest issue, was the fact that they were just friends that had three kids.
Yeah.
And, I know for a fact that they loved each other very much, but it's almost like they were very independent people. And, just going through a divorce with my family, and, it was a nice, you can't really say that a divorce is pleasant, but it was as pleasant as it could be. There was no arguing or bickering or, custody battles or war battles. I mean, it just wasn't there. It was like they just said, okay, and went their opposite directions. And so, and Colin's parents still being married for, I want to say, over 30 years.
Yeah.
So I have kind of the best of both worlds there, and then my grandparents shared a love that is just a fairy tale. So I have a lot of, things to go off of to make a marriage work.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm willing to die trying to make it work. I won't, give up without a fight.
Right.
Ever. Winners never quit. And quitters never win.
Yeah.
So, I learned that from being an athlete.
There you go. I think what else to talk about in regards to codependency?
Friendship.
Well, yeah.
I'm battling right now with a friend of mine, whom I love dearly like a sister. And she has had some very, very rough roads to travel in the past couple months. And she's a wonderful girl. But it's to the point where I feel like I've tried too hard. And now I'm being shut out. It's a bad feeling.
Yeah.
Makes me feel like I'm about yay tall.
Sometimes when a person decides to live their life in a self-destructive manner or pull in people that cause drama and wreak havoc, they don't want to hear reality rear its ugly head when they're consumed by that drama. Because some people actually thrive in drama or chaos, or think that they do, you know, and they don't know how to live with just the peace and serenity that life can offer at times, you know. They don't want
right.
to be content. And they try to drag you in there with it, you know. And when you don't want to participate, then they get offended and, you know, they don't want nothing to do with you because they think, well, you know, you got to fight my battle with me or, you know, get in this mix with me because I don't want to do it by myself. I can't do it by myself. You know what I mean?
Right.
So.
It's, she's a good girl. She just got a lot of hurdles to jump over.
Well, you know, life is hard enough without having to make it harder. And that's what we do a lot of times. The quality of our decisions, it produces the outcome that we're living in today, you know. So whatever we decided to do yesterday kind of has a direct reflection on what we're doing today, or 20 years ago, for that matter, you know. And a lot of people don't really think things out. They act impulsively or rashly. And then they go, wow, I wish I went this way instead of that way because I reacted to something because of my codependent nature, you know, that kind of thing. And they just don't see it. You know, I don't think many people really understand the nature of codependency or how it affects you in your life, or that you're in it for that matter. You know, they're not aware of it, so they don't know to do something about it until somebody brings it to them, you know, and says, look, this is what you're doing. There is a better way, you know. So, we don't have any callers yet, huh? Come on, call us. We need you to call us.
Yes, we do.
Yeah.
We need direction.
Like that. You know. Now, codependency sometimes gets confused with interdependency, you know.
With interdependency?
Yeah. Interdependency is where, like, you know, like in a marriage or something, you know, it's like you both kind of work toward the same goal, so you depend on each other. You know, to be there for each other mentally, emotionally, spiritually, financially, you know, whatever the situation calls for, you know. And that, you know, it's like if you have bills that, you know, exceed what one person in the marriage earns, then you depend on the other person to come up with the difference, right? So that's interdependence. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
Okay. So.
In an odd way.
Well, you know, I mean, it's like, you know, if you don't make enough money on your own to pay all the bills for you and your spouse, then you got to rely on your spouse to help earn the money to offset whatever you don't come up with, you know. And, I mean, every relationship is different, you know. Some do the 50-50 thing. Some people do the, you know, I'll pay all these bills and you pay those bills and whatever's left over we'll do with what we can, or save it or blow it or whatever, you know. I mean, those are important issues for people in relationships to deal with, you know, and talk about before they get all buried under something that they don't know how to dig themselves out from under. And that causes a lot of strife in relationships, you know, financial problems. Because, like, the guy wants to go out and buy a new Harley, and the woman wants to go out and buy new curtains and stuff like that for the house, you know what I mean? They have different directions they want to go, you know?
Right.
And if they can't agree on what's most important or a priority, you know, then there's going to be conflict. And,
yeah, I can definitely agree there.
Yeah, so, you know.
Colin and I had that hurdle when, right before we got married.
Uh-huh.
Back, Valentine's Day, actually. He, you know, I'm doing everything I can to get this wedding rolling and working, you know, between working 10-hour days at work and coming home and typing emails and buying all types of stuff for the wedding. It's like he goes out and buys an engine.
Mm-hmm.
And I got so angry. But I was so angry that I couldn't even speak. And that did more, I think, than anything. It's not speaking. If that makes any sense. I think that touched him the deepest.
It what?
It basically touched him the deepest. Like, it got to him deeper than any words I could say.
Right.
And I just looked at him and I said, prioritize, Colin, prioritize.
Uh-huh.
And to him, that was a priority.
Uh-huh.
But for us, per se, it wasn't.
Right.
So it was, I can't necessarily say there was an argument because there wasn't. It was more of a silence.
Uh-huh.
But soon enough, he came to and then realized what I was talking about. I could understand if he bought an engine for a car that wouldn't run, but he had a car that ran perfect. And bought an engine. But anyway. That's neither here nor there, but I'm not all about buying curtains, I can tell you that much.
Well, you
know. I'm not a curtain type of girl.
Well, figuratively speaking, you know.
I know. I was making jokes.
Okay. Ah. But, see, what else can we cover on this? How about expectations?
Ooh, that's a good
real
one.
Or imagined?
What is an expectation?
Well,
I mean, what is it? I mean,
an expectation is where you feel like or expect that a person will behave or do or say a certain thing or the way you want it done. Now, there are some expectations that are realistic. You know, like when your husband or wife gets paid, they come home with the money and they put it in the bank account and they use it to help pay the bills, right? That's a realistic expectation.
Right.
Right? Okay. And then there's unrealistic expectations, like let's say you think that your spouse is going to take his paycheck and go out and buy you a great old big present because it's payday, you know?
Right.
And then they come home and they don't bring you one. And then your expectations weren't met. Now you can either A, you know, let it go, or B, you can get all upset about it because your expectation wasn't met. I mean, that's, you know, a pretty dramatic example, but, you know, the best way I can kind of put that one. And, you know, it's like if you expect that your husband's going to be the kind of guy that comes home and tells you he loves you 10 times before he goes to bed, but he only says it once a month, you know, then your expectations are not going to be met, you know.
Right.
And you can get upset about it or not get upset about it. That's your choice. And a lot of people don't understand that. You know, they get upset and then they blame the other person because their expectations weren't met. So they get all twisted up and they want to fight and argue and, you know.
In reality, it's not the husband's fault.
Right.
That would be the wife's fault, setting the bar too high and setting unrealistic expectations.
That's right.
See, I'm more of a mellow person. I'm more of a, tell me you love me once a day and I'm great.
Mm-hmm.
I'm good.
Right.
And you know what? It's not even something that needs to really be said every day.
Mm-hmm.
This man married me. He chose me to spend his life with. And,
right.
You know, lucky for me, Colin does tell me several times a day that he loves me.
Right.
But at the same time, it's it's not expected. It's just, but I'm sure if one day he stopped telling me he loved me and I didn't hear it for, say, a week, I'd probably raise an eyebrow. I'm pretty in tune like that. I'd pick up on little stuff like that. Raise an eyebrow and say, hey, what's going on here? But it's not an expectation that I have. I'm a worry wart. I worry about everything.
Mm-hmm. How's that working for you?
Yeah, it doesn't.
Yeah.
Worrying gets you nowhere.
Mm-hmm.
I'm trying to figure the other person out.
Uh-huh.
But got to worry about yourself. It's the only person you need to worry about. Mm-hmm. Yourself.
Yeah, that's all you have any control over.
Exactly. It's like the vet told me today, you know, I took the dogs to the vet. Kane had his annual exam. And he's 99 pounds. Doctor looks at me and he says he's fat.
Uh-huh.
You need to get his weight down. I want to see him more around 90. So, okay, we can get 10 pounds off of me. Like, easier said than done.
Uh-huh.
You know, Kane's eaten the same amount every day for the past 8 years.
Uh-huh.
I mean, no more, no less. Doesn't get but one, maybe two treats a day.
Uh-huh.
But as he's getting older, his metabolism's slowing.
Uh-huh.
And so I looked at the doctor, I was like, sure, I can get this weight off of him. You know, we'll go out and we'll play some ball and we'll walk and we'll run and we'll do all this stuff. He was like, see me again in 6 months. I promise you his weight won't be down.
Right.
And that's something I have no control over. I can try, but he says I'm probably not going to succeed. He's like, you can get his weight off, but it's going to require more of feeding him less. Well, I can't feed him less. He only eats 2 cups a day.
Yeah.
And he's a big lab. He's huge.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, as long as he's not swiping chickens off the counter or anything, you'll be doing all right.
Yeah. I've been down that road a couple times.
That was something else.
That was 3 times. You know that? 3 times.
Really? You did that 3
yes.
times?
Yes, the whole chicken, bones and everything.
Good Lord.
The last time I figured out, I was like, how did he get this chicken? I don't understand how he got this chicken.
Uh-huh.
Because it was in the refrigerator. I had purchased it the night before.
Oh, no.
And I thought to myself, Colin must have made a chicken sandwich or something before he left for work, or Matthew, or somebody was making something and left it out on the counter. And little did I know, I get home and, you know, I realize that I had eaten chicken, and I happened to look over the refrigerator, and it wasn't closed all the way. The dog learned how to open the stupid refrigerator.
Wow.
Ugh.
What a clever dog.
Well, that's when I decided, okay, no more standard freezer top, fridge bottom. I got the side-by-side. He can't open that one.
Uh-huh. Okay. That's good. Yeah, now if you could just get him to open it and bring you a drink when you're thirsty, you'd be doing really good.
That's what my husband is for.
Yeah, okay.
I'm only kidding. I'm
I hope he knows about that expectation.
Yeah, yeah.
You know. See, that's the thing, you know, about expectations. Sometimes we have these expectations, and we don't bother to tell the other person that we have that expectation, so they can't meet it even if, you know, they were, you know, going to try, because they don't know about it to try, you know.
Right.
And that's what causes so much problems in relationships.
Communication.
Yeah, exactly. They don't communicate what it is they want or need, you know. And then it's like,
help me out here for a minute.
Okay.
What does a man need from his wife? Like, really need, not a want, but a need.
Sex.
Well, that's a given.
Yeah.
That's
okay. I don't know. I guess, you know, for her to. Not nag him. That's what he needs. You know.
We've got this label. Women have this label of being the naggers and the complainers and the
gripers. Well earned.
Well, and but all women aren't like that.
I know not all of them are like that. but it's a rare thing to find one that isn't.
That's why Colin's such a lucky guy.
Well, I see. Okay.
Oh, I am my mother's daughter.
Yes, you are.
No, I just was wondering, because, you know, it's always interesting to get inside of a male's brain versus a female's brain. Cause,
right.
You know, we think totally different, total opposites. I'm sure you guys think about, you know, just... You
think
guys,
about cars and money and work and, you know...
You just nailed Colin right on the head.
Yeah, well, that's what guys think about. And most people do, you know, but not necessarily in that order. See, women, they think about the relationship, and then, or their children if they have them, and then their relationship, and then their work, and then money. You know, unless they don't have any money, then they're thinking about money. You know?
Right.
Yeah. It's whatever you're lacking, that is what you think about the most. That's just human nature.
Cars, it's like, I think, would have to be Colin's primary.
Yeah, he's a car guy.
Eats, sleeps, and drinks it.
Yeah, well, he works it. I mean, so.
Well, as I do. But I don't think about cars when I come home.
Mm-hmm.
I think about all the customers in between the cars.
Right.
But no, he's, have you seen his newest edition? I don't know if you've seen the Supra.
No.
Yeah, you saw it. You were at the wedding.
I was, yeah, but I didn't see no Supra.
That's what we left in.
Oh, okay. Well, I wasn't there when you guys left.
Oh, did you already leave?
No. You booked... Oh, wait a minute. I thought... See, we thought you were leaving the hotel, but you were just leaving the reception area and went upstairs or whatever, I think.
We left the hotel, too. We went home.
Oh, did you?
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
My poor animals hadn't been out since 6:30 that morning.
Right. No, I didn't see your car.
Anyway, that's his pride and joy.
I see. Wow.
Yeah, it's fantastic, isn't it?
I guess. I mean, I know what they are, you know. I didn't realize he bought one.
Yeah, he bought a 93, the Premier Edition.
Uh-huh.
Beautiful car. Came out way before its time.
Yeah.
And then he's got his toy, which is the Nissan.
Mm-hmm.
He's got a Nissan 240. It's 10 different colors right now.
Oh, wow. Well, his Supra is the same year as my SC. So it's
pretty much
the same
car.
Body style. Yeah.
One has an L, one has a T.
Front end and rear end. Yeah.
It's got the same front end on it, a different rear end.
No, I think the front end is a little bit different as far as the grill work goes, what I recall. But it is a nice car, that's for sure.
Yeah, the coupes are a treasure.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I know they're very, very desirable.
Yes. Colin's dad went down to Fayetteville, and that's where they're from. And he was just driving by, and he saw this coupe sitting in the driveway. He actually went up to the man and asked to buy it right there on the spot. It wasn't even for sale.
Wow.
And, oh, excuse me. Needless to say, he has the coupe.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
Huh. Well, how about that?
I think we're really steering off codependency.
Yeah, I was just thinking that myself. We have drifted off topic here.
That's all right.
We could pick another topic if you want.
What other topics are good?
You're talking about what goes through a man's brain.
Yeah, I mean, it's really interesting because the male species, I should say, I guess would be the proper term.
Uh-huh.
It's interesting being a female and trying to learn about a male, which is, you know, the book Men Are From Mars, Women Are From Venus, or...
Men Are From Mars, Women Are From Hell, yeah.
Thank you.
Yeah.
Mom tried to get me to read that book when I was 12, and of course I didn't understand that.
No,
I was 12 years old.
Uh-huh.
I was like, here, read it. Okay, what does it mean?
That's funny.
Women are definitely more needy than men.
Oh, yeah.
Definitely.
Yeah, you know, but, I mean, that's what makes the world go round, you know.
Opposites like, attract.
Yeah, and it's like men are, you know, normally they're raised to be like the providers, you know, hunters, gatherers, that kind of thing. And the women are, you know, taking care of the home and the kids and, you know, build a nest kind of deal.
But how does it make you feel, how would it make you feel as a man if your woman is the breadwinner of the family, and which is happening more and more commonly in households today?
Yeah. Well, I would be thinking, thank God. You know?
Let me just kick my feet up for a minute and relax.
Yeah. Well, you know, I mean, I didn't have that really until I was married the second time. You know, the first one, she only worked about half the time I was married to her because she would, you know, get fired or something or get mad and quit, not realizing that that would mean that I would have to pick up her slack, which meant that I was working three jobs while she was sitting back there watching soap operas, you know.
See, I couldn't do that. I couldn't.
Well, there's plenty that can, let me tell you. And, you know, but it's like this. If you know that going in to the relationship, it's a lot easier to deal with because you kind of, you know, try to maintain your budget along those lines, you know. But if you're living on a two-income kind of lifestyle, and all of a sudden one income is gone, then you're going to have problems, you know, because you can't maintain that lifestyle any longer unless you do something radically different, like getting another job or two more jobs on top of the one you already got, you know. But you can do that only for so long before it burns you out, you know, and causes resentments and hard feelings, you know, that kind of thing.
Well, I think where I'm a little different than a lot of women, and I guess men for the most part as well, as I set my mind to where I will never have to depend on a man or anybody else for that matter for anything. I will always be able to maintain my own.
Right.
And because if you do, the more you depend on somebody, the lower in the hole you get, in my opinion.
That's true.
And it's harder to dig yourself out, because what's going to happen when that dependent source is gone?
Mm-hmm.
And the well is dry.
Right. And you inadvertently subjugate your will to that person by doing that.
Exactly. And it's like my mom. She was a stay-at-home mom. She was a great mom, running us back and forth to ball games and dance recitals. She, you know, my father made enough money to where my mom could stay at home with us three and, of course, get us off to school and, you know, do the things I guess a mom would do. And I don't have children, so I can't speak. But, you know, she was an awesome mom and constantly running around and doing. But when my parents got divorced, my mom hadn't worked in 19 years.
Uh-huh.
So all of her experience from the past, such as banking, which is what she was in, you know, before she got married,
uh-huh,
down the drain. And she had to start down at the bottom of the totem pole.
Right.
And that was rough for her, you know, because her resume, she didn't have one.
Right.
And so she had to start low and work her way back up, and that was extremely, extremely hard for her, and I saw the struggles that she went through because I went through them with her.
Mm-hmm.
And I decided at that point that, you know, it's not that my mom was dependent on my father. It was a lifestyle that the two of them chose.
Right.
I don't, you know, I don't know if my dad didn't want her to work or if, you know, being a stay-at-home mom, I guess back in the 80s, that was the thing to do, though.
Yeah,
you know, you always had more men working.
Uh-huh.
But after seeing those struggles, I just refused to go through them myself.
Yeah. Well, you know, I think a lot more women nowadays have come to that realization that, you know, when they depend on a man to take care of them, and then they get tired of him or he gets tired of her and they move on, then all of a sudden they're put in that position, and, you know, child support and alimony only gets you so far, you know. So it's like you got to learn how to do something and take care of yourself if you haven't been doing that all along.
Yeah, it's like I have an ex-boyfriend who actually proposed to me when I was 21 years old. He was just really lazy and really dependent on his mom and dad.
Mm-hmm.
Needless to say, he's 34 years old and he still lives with his parents.
Uh-huh.
I mean, he lives in like, they like transform the attic, I guess, into like an apartment for him. And he is 100% completely content.
Uh-huh.
It's mind-blowing.
Yeah, I don't believe I could do that.
Whereas I'm, you know, at 22 years old, I had my first townhouse built.
Right.
And, you know, I refused to do the whole apartment thing and rent thing.
But yeah.
And it was hard.
Mm.
Struggled, but what is life without struggles?
Well, a lot easier.
Right, but I'm saying there's going to be struggles no matter where you turn in life, whether it's financially or emotionally or, you know, whatever. There's always going to be a struggle, but the struggles are what we learn lessons from.
Right.
It's where we get smart.
Mm-hmm. True that. But, you know, back to the, we were talking about women, you know, getting their minds wrapped around the idea that they need to take care of themselves or learn how to provide for themselves. You know, if they manage to do that while they're still in a relationship, you know, it would make their lives, I don't know, I guess more complete, you know, because there's something to be said for going out and earning a
fulfillment.
Living.
Yeah.
Yeah, you know.
When
you
want the $500 Coach bag, you don't have to go to your husband to ask for it.
Right, right. And then, you know, there's, like, if you have more pragmatic desires, you know. Like a decent car to drive or something. You know?
Yeah.
Yeah. Because I don't think everybody wants a $500 handbag, you know what I mean?
What?
I said, I don't think every woman wants or needs a $500 handbag.
I wanted one for 4 years.
Uh-huh.
And I wanted this, I wanted a Coach bag.
Uh-huh.
And I just could not bring myself to spend $500 on a purse. I couldn't do it.
Uh-huh.
I said, well, one day when I have some extra cash that's kind of hanging out, and, you know, I'll do it.
That's called delayed gratification.
Well, it took me 4 years.
Well, that's good.
I, you know, I'm the person that
broke down and bought one.
I did.
Mm-hmm.
I did, and I've been carrying it for a year.
Mm-hmm.
And I love it. It's my favorite bag.
Mm-hmm. Well,
I still
good.
Can't believe I paid $500 for it, though.
Yeah, but if you set a goal, you know, and set money aside for something like that, then, you know, or
yeah,
wait,
I mean, I'm not going to go out and blow it.
Available, then that's a practical decision, you know, because you've thought about it, and if it's persistent and a desire that stays with you, you know, then, I mean, that's how I operate. You know, I see something I like, and I go, one day I'm going to have one of those because I really like that, and, you know, it might take me a year, it might take me 5 years, but sooner or later I'll end up with that thing. Yeah, you know. Kind of a short-term goal.
Yeah, I mean, I wouldn't call my coach bag of gold, but definitely, you know, I've got a girlfriend that we operate. It's almost like we have two totally different operating systems. She just doesn't have, she lives way outside of her means.
Uh-huh.
Way outside of her means.
A lot of people do that.
And I think that's the way society is bringing everybody up to be.
Well, yeah.
Who are you if you don't drive a nice car? And who are you if you don't have a coach? But you know what I'm saying? Just society and television is making these kids think these things.
Right. Yeah.
And it's beyond me.
Mm-hmm.
It is absolutely beyond me. You know, when I see, I was at the mall, and I see this, I don't know, she couldn't have been any more than 8 or 9, maybe 10 years old.
Uh-huh.
She's trying on swimsuits. And she comes out of the dressing room, and this little girl says, I'm fat. She couldn't have weighed any more than 50 pounds.
Right.
I mean, flat stomach. And I'm just like, where does this kid think she's fat?
Uh-huh.
Well, look at all the television, look at everybody out, you know, on TV, just women in general. We're always competing with television.
Mm-hmm.
Whereas men, I don't want to say you guys don't care. It's just, you know, you guys just do it instead of talk about it. Women talk about it and don't do it.
Sure.
To take care of themselves, but...
I think, like with this, what do you call it, the mortgage crisis they're having right now, you know,
mm-hmm.
all the foreclosures and all that, that's because people bought off into that, you know, thinking, okay, I can get a house with no money down and get this variable interest rate, you know, so my payments are really low going in and then balloon after a few years, you know, and now these people can't afford to pay those balloon payments. Because
mm-hmm.
their income did not advance along with their payments, you know, and gas has gone up ridiculously. So, you know, a person that's not affluent is not going to be able to do something like that, you know,
mm-hmm.
because your salary usually doesn't go up as much as inflation. It's always a little bit behind, it seems like. So, you know.
Yeah, and I, you know, with the mortgage crisis, I have to comment on that. And you believe when you get into a mortgage that the lender is not going to let you buy something you can't afford.
Right.
That's why do they ask you to bring pay stubs and bank statements
right.
and yada, yada, yada.
Right.
Well, where they went wrong was you had the banks lying on your behalf.
Mm-hmm.
Just so that they could get their paycheck.
Mm-hmm.
That's where the problem was.
Yeah.
But then you've got the buyer, who's just as stupid as the mortgager,
mm-hmm.
for thinking that they can afford something like that.
Right.
You start off with a $500 mortgage payment, and then in the next year it's going to be $1,500. Ooh, that's the gap.
Uh-huh. Yeah, and, you know, I mean, they hand out credit cards like they're candy, you know.
Anybody could get a credit card. Anybody.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And all you have to do is make regular payments on it for about a year, and then the next thing you know, it'll be at $5,000.
Mm-hmm.
You know?
Guy came into the dealership and bought a car on an American Express card.
Really?
Yeah.
Wow, I didn't think he could do that.
Yeah.
Huh.
He bought a car because American Express on this, there's like, it's called the No Limits card or something. I don't know what it is, but there's no interest.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
Huh.
Genius.
Yeah, it is pretty smart.
Yep.
I mean,
because where are you
going to
go and finance a car with no interest?
Yeah, and also, I mean, what would the minimum payment be, you know?
Yeah, I mean, I think the minimum payment's based on what? It's like a percentage of your...
balance.
High balance or something?
Yeah. Huh. Interesting.
Yep.
Who'd have thought?
all in all.
I know you could put a down payment on a car with a credit card.
It depends on your limit, I guess.
Well, yeah. Well, whatever you have available or whatever. But I've seen people do that before. Not a wise move, but, you know, seeing as how most of the time the credit card interest rate is just ridiculous anyway.
Just double the debt.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I mean, I knew this one lady, the mortgage broker, that got a guy into a house, got him a second mortgage so that he could put up the 20% down payment that he required because his credit wasn't that good. You know, and she financed that for him. So she could sell this house that she owned to this guy. So she was all three parties in the deal, you know, or three out of four, you know, the buyer and the seller and the broker and then the second mortgage person. And she just really tied them people up in a big old knot.
That's horrible.
Afforded by furniture. Yeah, I know. I don't know if they still own the house or if it's being foreclosed on or what the deal is with it. But, you know, she sure enough got them signed up.
I've had the hiccups all day. I just had to say that. I've got them again.
Oh, I'm sorry. But, you know, I know people are desperate sometimes to buy a home, you know, and they're willing to take whatever deal comes along to get there instead of just being patient and waiting and ironing out their credit problems, you know, before they get into something like that where they can buy something that's affordable, you know, that's within their means. And a lot of that happens because one of the people is pushing the other person to do something that's not sound financially because they have codependency. And they want to make that other person happy, even though the other person can never be completely satisfied.
Together.
You know?
Somehow, some way. Excuse me. I knew that it would all tie in together. Here we are, you know, veering off into the opposite subject.
Uh-huh.
Codependency, but it's all, a lot of it does relate to codependency.
That's true. Yeah. And we've burned up 55 minutes of airtime, too, doing it.
Have we really?
Yep.
Wow.
Ain't that something? I wonder if anybody got anything out of that tonight.
I hope so.
I hope so, too.
I recommend the Codependency No More book to anybody. Not necessarily to someone who is a codependent, but for anybody.
Right. You may be able to help a friend or something.
Exactly, like you did for me.
Mm-hmm. Yep. That's right. So do you think Bright Lights Pathfinder will be back on next week?
I do. She's doing well.
Mm-hmm.
She's been a little sick lately.
Mm-hmm.
She's trying to get her heart back in
the right frame of mind.
Well, her heart in the right state. I mean, she's had high blood pressure and low blood pressure and high blood pressure and which makes her heart kind of go out of whack a little bit. And she, trying to get her meds straight as far as her heart goes and had some surgeries in the past couple of months. And hopefully they'll prove to be all well and her ticker will be good.
Yeah.
She's a strong person, though. She can overcome anything.
Yeah. She wants to.
Anybody wants to.
Yeah.
It's all about your mindset.
True that. Yeah.
And I can't quit hiccuping at this point.
Well, it's a good thing you only got a couple minutes left to go, huh?
Yeah, because I just am hiccuping like crazy.
Uh-huh. Okay.
I don't know how to get rid of them. Jason told me to stand on my head and eat peanut butter.
Uh-huh. Well, yeah.
I don't think I'm going to try and stand on my head and eat peanut butter.
Oh, it'll be fun.
I need somebody to come around the corner and scare the poo out of me.
Uh-huh.
Yeah. This girlfriend of mine tried that today. It didn't work.
Yeah. Well. I got some other suggestions, but I can't say that over the air.
You know, you can always tell if you have the hiccups. Mm. And it's not just a fluke, is if you cough and you hiccup at the same time.
Oh, wow.
Would you like me to test that theory for you?
I don't know. Go ahead.
Oh, man.
Yeah, I heard that.
Always happens.
Wow.
Every time. Mm-hmm. You can't cough without hiccuping if you truly have a case of the hiccups.
Right. Wow.
It doesn't have anything in the world to do with codependency, but...
I wonder if yawning can be contagious? Like one person starts yawning, the other person starts yawning. I wonder if that's codependency. Or if that's something else.
Speaking of yawning, I just did that.
Uh-huh.
It's getting close to bedtime.
That's right. I couldn't tell it because you were hiccuping.
Yeah. The hiccups have gotten the better part of me right now.
Uh-huh.
It's really bad when I have a client in the office.
Yeah.
And I'm trying to talk, and it's really hard to take someone serious who has the hiccups.
Uh-huh.
But, you know, it does create laughter.
Uh-huh.
And there, a lot of people just kind of giggle at me. Because I can drink a soda and get the hiccups. I get the hiccups all the time.
Really?
Yes. I don't know why. Doctors have never been able to tell me why either.
Well, you gotta look it up on the internet, see if there's a, you know.
Do you know a lady died from having the hiccups?
I'm sure.
She had them for like a year straight.
Wow.
Like couldn't sleep.
Uh-huh.
Nothing. I think just from being so tired, she.
Oh, yeah.
I don't know. I don't know how that worked, but it was one of those believe it or not stories.
Mm-hmm. It's pretty bizarre.
Yes, it is.
Mm-hmm. Well, I think it's about that time, huh?
Yep. Get to report back to Bright Lights Pathfinders and tell her that I had the hiccups for most of her show.
Uh-huh.
She's going to giggle at me, but
uh-huh.
It's kind of uncontrollable at this point.
Right.
I'm codependent on the hiccups.
Right.
All right. Well, I appreciate everybody who tuned in with us tonight. And hopefully we will have Bright Lights Pathfinders back next week.
Mm-hmm.
If not, you'll hear me here again. But she should be back. No worries at all. So I'm not sure how this really works. Do we just kind of disconnect or...
Yeah, so thanks everybody for listening. You know,
I'm a newbie here. I'm not sure how this all works.
Yeah.
So.
Thank you for listening to Bright Lights Pathfinder show. Come back. See us next week.
Excuse me. I have hiccups. As we've been discussing for the past 15 minutes.
Yeah. Anyway, all right. Well, thanks for inviting me.
Thanks for co-hosting with me, and thanks, everybody, for listening. Have a great evening, and we'll see you next week.
All right.
Bye.
Bye.